This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم من النار. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you. Living here in the West, we face many obstacles. As time goes on, you find, and those who contemplate on their surroundings, that the situation of the Muslim Ummah is becoming more worse. On the day of Eid, brothers and sisters, we were all able to embrace the day of Eid, which is a day of celebration. With happiness, we were able to enjoy ourselves. We were able to go to Toys R Us and W.H. Smith and buy the presents for our kids, the Batman and the Spider-Man. It means a lot to us to see our kids very happy. It was a day of happiness, it was a day of eating and drinking. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Hunna ayyam aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrullah," and also to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is, brothers and sisters, there's days that we have a celebration, but there's many of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who don't even have a single bread to celebrate their Eid with. Videos were going around just before the day of Eid, and they're still going around, of some of the kids being pulled out of the rubble. Until when, brothers and sisters, can we see the suffering of the Muslim Ummah taking place? Because you find that many Muslims today, they have tried every means of maybe trying to improve the situation that we are going through at the moment. They have tried and they keep trying. People have tried to protest as much as possible. They have tried to sign petitions. Every now and again you find that petitions going around. Is the Muslim situation, the Muslim Ummah situation, is it getting better or is it getting worse? You know, brothers and sisters, we can try every single means at our disposal, but no, and nothing is going to change our situation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal will not change the state of the people until they change themselves. If we just look back at the Qur'an, you know, brothers and sisters, the Qur'an has every cure for every problem that we might have. The problem that happens between the husband and the wife, when a divorce takes place, is he allowed to kick her out of the house? The Qur'an tells us, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَا. Don't kick her out and she shouldn't leave. Why لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla will make something happen between them. Between the father and the son. between the daughter and the mother, how to deal with every single situation. The Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We haven't neglected anything from the book. Every cure, every problem, every suffering that we are going through, it is all mentioned to us. You know, brothers and sisters, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a very, very powerful statement. He said in Majmu' al-Fatawa, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا يُغَذِّيَ الْعَقْلَ وَالْرُوحَ وَيَحْفَظُ الْجِسْمَ وَيَضْمَنُ السَّعَادَةَ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ إِذَامَةِ النَّظْرِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. I haven't seen anything that feeds the mind and also the soul, and also preserves the body of a person, وَيَضْمَنُ السَّعَادَةَ, and it also guarantees happiness more than constantly looking in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to it, if we want the happiness to come back in our lives, whether it is generally for the Muslim Ummah or specifically in our lives, our personal affairs that we have, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us how to attain that happiness. There's many people that suffer. How many times do you find on London Road, brothers and sisters, a man who might have all the money, he's a millionaire, but he chucks himself over the bridge, or they climb on top of a big mountain and then he chucks himself over. They don't have the happiness. Wallahi, there's sometimes people that have everything they need in this dunya. They have money, they have the cars, but they come up to you, "Akhi, I'm not happy in my life. I have issues, bad issues. What can I do?" There's many people like that. There's millionaires that I know that are suffering from this kind of problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in one ayah, if you want to attain this happiness, if you want to get somewhere in life, what to do? Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكِرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever from the male and the female does two things. He does the عَمَلُ صَالِحًا, عَمَلُ صَالِحًا. He does the good deeds that is required of him. And then the second thing is, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ, he's a believer. He has iman. This person, we are going to give him a happy life. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Brothers and sisters, before I go on to the cure of the Muslim Ummah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, and we can make or put a blind eye to it, but the matter is very, very clear. Our scholars have told us, the Salaf have spoken about this, the three golden generations, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has specifically mentioned in the hadith, and likewise Allah azza wa jalla in the Quran. I just want to explain to you, inshallah ta'ala, looking and pondering into the Quran and studying it closely, to tell you some of the stories in the Quran as why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed previous nations. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَخْصُصِ الْقَصَصِ الْعَلَمْ يَتْفَكَرُونَ. Tell them of the stories in the Quran so that they may think. Allah says in another ayah, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. And we recite to you, O Muhammad, the stories of those before you, in order to firmen your heart, to make your heart firm upon the religion. There's ibar, there's lessons, there's examples that you find in these stories. It's meant to be a inspiration for us. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to hear about the prophets before him, it was an inspiration for him. He used to become inspired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us in the Quran, brothers and sisters, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحِ. How many nations did we destroy after Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ قَرْنٍ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا لَمْ نُمَكِّنْ لَكُمْ. And do you not see the amount of nations that we have destroyed before you, that we established upon the earth? We established them, but we never established you the way we established them. وَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَلَمْ يَرَوْا كَمْ هَلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا لَمْ نُمَكِّنْ لَكُمْ وَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we sent down from the sky rains and provision for them. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us about the people of Saba. And please, brothers and sisters, just look at this and see what they've done. And then compare it to the situation that we are in. You find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in the Quran sometimes because of one sin. After Allah Azza wa Jalla bestowed upon them whatever He did, because of one sin, people were destroyed. Allah told them the people of Saba, it's a place in Yemen. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَعٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٌ جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينِ وَالشِّمَالِ. The people of Saba, they had gardens on their left and likewise on their right. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do? كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ رَبِّكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. Eat from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla provided for you. And also thank Him. وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبُّ غَفُورٌ. What did they do? They were required to do what? To eat from that which Allah gave them and to be grateful. To do shukr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَأَعْرَضُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْعَرْمِ وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ بِجَنَّتَيْهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ ذَوَاتَيْ أُكُلِ الْخَمْطِ وَأَثْلِ مِشَيْهِمْ مِنْ سِلْمِ قَلِيمِ. What did they do? They turned away. They turned away from something, a blessing that Allah gave them, and He just told them to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. They turned away. What did He do? Allah Azza wa Jal replaced the gardens that they had on their left and likewise on their right. He sent down upon them a sail, a flood. And what did that get changed to? This blessing that they had on their left and their right? Land that was dead. There was nothing there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Bani Israel. لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُدُ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. The people of Bani Israel, they were cursed upon the tongue of Dawood and also Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. This is because they were disobedient and they used to violate. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse them? كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهُونَ مُكَنِ الْفَعَلُونَ. Because of the evil that was taking place, they never used to disapprove of it. Allah tells us in another ayah, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ صَيْحًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And every nation, we took them, we destroyed them because of their sin. بِذَنْبِهِ. It's from them that we destroyed them with a loud cry, a loud sound. It's from them that we made the earth swallow them. And some of them we drowned them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla used to oppress them, but they oppressed themselves. Brothers and sisters, for sin. For sin sometimes a nation was destroyed. Now you look at our situation, and then we might even ask, why are we suffering? Or why is the Muslim Ummah suffering? And it doesn't require much intelligence or rocket science to understand as to why this is taking place. You probably have every balaya. If you look at the Quran of all the nations, the Qawm Lut, Qawm Thamud, all of the nations, as to why they got destroyed, and then you find that this is found within our societies. It is there. It is widespread. Rather, it's becoming normal, and the guy that's actually maybe disapproving and saying there's something wrong with it, he's seen as an outcast inside the society. لَا يَتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدُ وَشَرَّ مِنْهُ. There doesn't come a time, except that the time that comes after it is more worse. So going back, brothers and sisters, to what I wanted to speak about today, inshaAllah ta'ala, when will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift the suffering of this Muslim Ummah? Like I mentioned before, we can try every means, whether it's legislated or not. But the only thing that's going to cause the problems to be uplifted, and the rahmah, and the salvation will be sent down upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is if we apply what is inside this book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The answer is there, it just requires a person to look. And it requires every single person to do something about it. Because, remember brothers and sisters, we might be here in Britain and we are sinning, but other people are suffering from it. What is the proof for it? Zainab bin Jahsh radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife, she said to him, أَنَا أَهْلِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ, we will be destroyed and amongst us are the righteous. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, نَعَمْ إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثُ, when evil becomes so widespread, everybody will be taken. When that flood or that earthquake hits places like Orlando and other places, as we hear all the time on the news, this place in America, that place in America, this place, in this place, the good people amongst them, the earthquake is not going to call them, and the natural disaster is not going to call them or send them a message on Facebook, Akhi, get ready, I'm coming. It's going to come and take everyone. People will not be exempted when this adab comes. Let me give an example of what happened in Yemen. I was in Yemen at a time when the protesting and the problems were going on. The mashayikh, they used to say to them, Ya Akhi, don't leave your house. Don't cause any problems. It's my country. Do not protest, do not cause any problems. Stay in your homes. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, there will come a time when there will be rulers, لا يختلون بهدي ولا يختلون بسنتي قلوبهم كخلوب الشياطين في جثمان الإنس. There will come a time there will be rulers who don't take my guidance as a guidance and they don't take my sunnah as a sunnah. Their hearts are like the hearts of the shaytan. So Hudhayfa said, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do? وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ظَهْرُكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِعْ. If your back gets beaten and your money gets taken, listen and obey. That wasn't even taking place. The Prophet told us like the worst case scenario. Then on top of that, listen and obey. That wasn't even taking place. Everybody wanted to imitate the kuffar, the disbelievers, of how they toppled over a country. They're saying it's time for a change. He's been there for a long time. They came out, maybe a few people. Compared to the population of the country, a few of them. Now, the widow, the Muslim woman, that didn't come out, that didn't do anything, and the little kid that has nothing, and other old people, other Muslim men and women, who didn't take part in all this fiasco that was taking place, now they have to suffer as well. The whole country is upside down. The whole country, brothers and sisters, is about to be destroyed. Now every single Yemeni you find when you ask him, which one do you prefer? Before the ruler or after the ruler got toppled? 99.9% of the people, any person with intellect will say, we prefer before, we wish we never revolted. So because of our sins, you find that a lot of other people will end up suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, if we want to get authority upon the earth and we want to be established, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised those who believe and those who do righteous deeds, He will give them authority upon the earth. He will establish them. Just like He established the people before. When will this happen? Allah tells us in the last part of the ayah, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْءَ. When you start worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, you have tawheed and you also stay away from shirk. Inshallah ta'ala, in the second part of the khutbah I want to speak more about this. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. Brothers and sisters, التوحيد أولا لو كانوا يعلمون. توحيد comes first if only the people knew. يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. They worship Allah عز وجل. They single him out in worship and they stay away from shirk. Okay, someone might be wondering now, where is shirk taking place? Why do the scholars and why do the brothers always just say tawheed, tawheed, or shirk, shirk? Do we see anybody worshipping statues? Why is so much emphasis given to this? Brothers and sisters, worshipping statues is not the only form of shirk that the Prophet ﷺ came and he warned against. and he told us to stay away from. Something that's very, very common here in Britain. You'll find it's very, very common in places like Leicester Resort, where I'm from. That which is pertaining to ta'weez. Don't know how much you know about this, but it is very, very common. More in the Asian community than others. In the Arabic language, they say tamaim. In Urdu, I think they call it ta'weez. And in Somali, they have a word for it, but at this moment in time, I can't remember it. Where the people, they hang talismans around their necks and also around their hands. Believing that it can bring them benefit and bring them harm. It is very, very widespread. And it's from the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, مَنْ عَلَقَ تَمِيمَةً فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. Whoever hangs a talisman, this person has fallen into shirk. إِنَّ الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمْ وَتُوَلَةَ الشِّرْكُ. Something that is very, very widespread. And there's other forms of shirk that you find very widespread in our communities. Brothers and sisters, for those who don't know, some of these things, and you might not think that this is widespread, but it's very widespread. Opening up these things, I've worked with a few brothers. You know what it has in there? The names of Fir'aun, the names of Qarun, the names of Haman, Abu Lahab and Shaytan and Iblis. Recently a brother called me and he said to me, my wife, every time she hears the adhan, she starts vibrating and she wants the adhan to be switched off. One of the first questions I tend to ask the people is, do you have a ta'weez around you? They look in the back, the ta'weez comes out. Do you know what he has on there, brothers and sisters? We are worshippers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of people, they direct people that might be suffering to these peers, to these scholars that they have. They go to them, they pay them, and mashallah ta'ala, they're very, very rich. Very rich. There's a guy, mashallah, that we know, he has a Mercedes outside his house and he has CCTV. People go to him, they have problems. If you're suffering from maybe problems between the husband and the wife, maybe you have a court case that you're becoming stressed about, then call this number. There's a letter that comes through my house every few months. It says, call Babu Ali. If you have any problems, if you have any issues, husband and wife, you can't have the children, call this number. And we'll provide you with things. And many people do that. Billahi alaykum, brothers and sisters, I ask you. If a person now doesn't know the basics of his tawheed, he doesn't know how to establish it properly in every aspect, what is right and wrong, what might be the reason that could cause him to exit the fold of Islam. And he doesn't know much about these Sahara, these magicians, these sorcerers, these fortune tellers that people tend to go to and get information from. Then when a problem occurs after our kids, they grow up, and sihr has always been normal to them because they listen to things like Harry Potter and also these wonder, these fairy godmother, on the things that they watch. It's become normal to them, they don't know anything about sihr. They don't know that if they go to a sahir, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about it, مَنْ أَتَى عَرَّافًا فَسَأَلُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يُقْبَلْ لَهُ صَلَاةٌ أَرْبَعُونَ لَيْلَةٍ. Whoever goes to a kahin, whoever goes to a magician, fortune, sorcerer, and asks a question, then 40 days of his prayer is not going to be accepted. All part of our tawheed. All part of the things that we need to master, that our kids need to know. بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ أَسْأَلُكَ. I ask you by Allah, when these kids grow up and they have a problem now between the husband and the wife, and this letter comes through their door thinking that this is now maybe a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal to get their problems removed, do you think they're not going to call these people, or they're not going to go to these peers that they have and get whatever they need to get? Why? Because they don't know. Brothers and sisters, I can't stress how much we need to give emphasis and learn our tawheed. And then teach the kids and also our family members, our relatives, a tawheed. From the moment you wake up, it's a tawheed. What do we say? Asbahna ala fitrat al-Islam wa ala kalimat al-ikhlas. Tawheed. A dua that we read consists of tawheed. The message of all the prophets was a tawheed. A person, he comes, a baby, newly born baby, you read the adhan, it is a tawheed. Every ibadah that we do, it's a tawheed. That we need to make our intentions clear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
A person is dying at Tawheed. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha dakhala al-jannah. At Tawheed. Whoever's last statement is la ilaha illallah, he enters into al-jannah. Tawheed again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dying, brothers and sisters. He is on his deathbed. What's he calling to? At Tawheed. La'anallahu al-yahud wa nasara takhudu khubur anbiya'i masayh. May the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians who took the graves as places of worship on his deathbed at Tawheed. On the day of Arafah, the one that goes out to Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءِ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَنَبِي لَا إِلَّا إِلَّا وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. The best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. And the best thing that I ever said in the Prophet before me, لَا إِلَّا إِلَّا وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Again, a tawheed. Many, many different points that I can mention, brothers and sisters, to show you the tawheed is just revolving around our life, and now we need to take this very, very seriously. Thuluth al-Qur'an. A third of the Qur'an, which is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Surat al-Ikhlas. It's a tawheed. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam gets chucked into prison in the most hardest of situations. أَعْرْبَابُ الْمُتَفَارِقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ. He's calling them to tawheed. Having multiple gods or just having one god. Which one's better? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's calling to a tawheed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets abandoned. He's saying to the people, قُلْ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا تُفْلِحُ. Many aspects of our life, brothers, it requires a tawheed. This is the message of the Qur'an, the message of the Prophet, and something that we need to go back to and take very, very seriously, because wallahi billahi, thumma tallahi, our kids, they don't know the basics of tawheed. You ask some of our kids, and I did this one time. There was a time, maybe 6 weeks in a row, I done the same khutbah. Just what al-Islam means. Because before that, I stopped a group of little kids, and I asked them, what is the meaning of al-Islam? What is the meaning of a tawheed? What is the meaning? وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولًا. Brothers and sisters, I will conclude with this hadith inshaAllah ta'ala. And you just inshaAllah ta'ala just look at it and see if this applies to the situation that we're currently in. 5 seconds it requires for us to know what the cure and the solution of the Muslim woman is. In this hadith, he told us, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَذْنَانِ الْبَقَرِ. Once you start having dealings of riba and ask yourselves, is this something that is widespread in our communities? And you begin to chase the tails of the cows and you become satisfied with the crops that you have, meaning chasing the dunya and becoming satisfied and just be fully attentive to it. وَتَرَكْتُمْ الْجِهَادِ. And you begin to leave over jihad. Before someone gets the wrong impression, we're not trying to encourage the people to go and join ISIS. There's many forms of al-jihad that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us about it. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions this in his Kitab Zad al-Mi'ad. The first type of jihad is jihad al-nafs, to strive against yourself, to be able to stop yourself from what? The shahawat, the desires that you have. When that sister is walking past you, that you lower your gaze. It's tempting to have that girl, that very nice girl, as a girlfriend, but you stop yourself. There's means that you could make money, but you find that it is haram, you stop yourself. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? صَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla will send down upon you a humiliation until you come back to your religion. Until you come back to your religion. And the state of the situation of our Muslim ummah will not change, brothers and sisters, until we change themselves. We start with ourselves, then we take it on into our households, and then through the community. That's how a community of tawheed becomes established. You save yourself, you save yourself and your family, and then you gradually take it on like that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. وأقم الصلاة.